Second Chronicles, chapter 20. Begin reading in verse 1. It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them others beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. And then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, "There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria. And behold, they be in Hazon Tamar, which is in Gedi." And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord, and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord, even out of all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court, and said, "O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee?" It's probably an understatement to say that we live in troubled times, in dangerous times. And first of all, we look at the rise of sin. And it has gotten so that once things that were done only in secret are now done in the open. What people were actually ashamed to admit they did, they now boast about and flaunt it. The wicked are becoming more bold, more blasphemous. God, His Son, His Word are more openly attacked or ignored. And we see that the truth of the Bible that told us that in the last days perilous times would come, men would wax worse. And we see the end of the cycle in Romans 1, where not only do people engage in sin, but others take pleasure in those sins. They support those who sin. Not only is sin on the rise, but the times are like Genesis, where it said that the earth is full of violence. Violence is becoming more prominent throughout the world. We see that people are worried about terrorists that are striking around the world. In the Central and South America, drug cartels openly intimidate and murder. And our country becomes more polarized and more divided, and people of all political persuasions are turning to force to try to get their point across. Rousing talk show hosts of both the left and the right seek to stir up feelings of hatred towards those who disagree with them or with their ideology, and people who are considered others are routinely demonized. And our text records another time of great danger to Judah. We're told that the Moabites and the Ammonites, along with the people of Mount Seir, were marching towards Jerusalem to attack it. And by the time Jehoshaphat was informed of this, the invading host was at En-Gedi, which is only a little more than 40 miles away from Jerusalem. So Jehoshaphat didn't have a lot of time to do something about it. And the Bible says that he was very fearful, but he also knew what he had to do. It says that he set himself to seek the Lord. He proclaimed a fast and gathered all the people. And the beginning of Jehoshaphat's prayer to God is in verse 6. And in it, Jehoshaphat enunciates three great truths about God. He starts off by saying, "O God of our fathers, art not thou in heaven?" He was not calling on a new God. He was not seeking a new power source or turning to someone who had not always been there, who might be away, who might not care. He was turning to the one who had been the father of the Israelite nation. At the burning bush, God had said to Moses, "I am the Lord, God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. I have surely seen the afflictions of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard thy cry by reason of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land, and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey." God was the father of Abraham, father of Isaac, father of Jacob, and he continued to be the father of the nation Israel. He called Israel his nation. In Hosea, he talked about lifting Ephraim up as a child, and he held Ephraim under his arms and led him. The Bible tells us that God, as a father pities his children, God pities us. And Jesus, when he instructed his disciples to pray, he said to begin the prayer with "Our Father who art in heaven." Galatians 3:26 tells us, "For ye are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." Our Father sees our afflictions. He hears our cry. He knows our sorrows. And in his time, according to his will and his purpose, he will deliver us from all of those trials and dangers in one fashion or another. And the next truth that Jehoshaphat proclaimed in his prayer was that, "Rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen?" And of course, he knew that that answer was yes, for God is the ruler of all earthly kingdoms. Psalms 47 and verses 7 and 8 say, "For God is the king of all the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding. God reigneth over the heathen. God sitteth upon the throne of his holiness." And Isaiah 40 and verse 15 tells us, "Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing." God rules the kings of the heathen, and he guides the course of all nations. And finally, in verse 6, Jehoshaphat says, "In thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee." 2 Kings chapter 17 and verse 36 tells us, "But the Lord, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt with great power and a stretched out arm, him shall ye fear, and him shall ye worship, and him shall ye do sacrifice." King Hezekiah, when he was confronted with a similar situation, an invasion by the Assyrian king Sennacherib, comforted his people with the words found in 2 Chronicles 32, 7 and 8. "Be strong and courageous. Be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him. For there be more with us than with him. With him is the arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles." And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. And what Jehoshaphat was pointing to in all of these words that he said about God being God in heaven, about God being the ruler of the nations, and that none could withstand him, was pointing to the sovereignty of God. Jehoshaphat could turn to God in a time of distress, and he could make these confident statements concerning God because God is sovereign. And we hear a lot about the sovereignty of God, and perhaps it could be defined as unlimited power of God, his control over nature and history. Another writer said that God is the supreme ruler and authority. He ordains whatever comes to pass, and his divine purpose is always accomplished. And scripture says in Isaiah 46, 9 and 10, remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I shall do all my pleasure. We see that God is sovereign over nature. Isaiah 45 and 12 says, I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their hosts have I commanded. And we see throughout Scripture that God commands nature. He commanded the Red Sea to part so that the Israelites could cross on dry land. And he commanded the Jordan to part so that the children of Israel could enter into the Promised Land. He made the sun stand still for Joshua so that he could win a complete victory. And he turned the shadow of the sun back on the sundial 10 degrees to assure that Hezekiah could know that when God told him he would have another 15 years, that he could rely on that. It is God who brings the sun and the clouds, the rain and the storms, the wind and the hail, just to wait his command. And all nature follows the decree of God. And he also has command and sovereignty over all the animals and birds which he has created. 1 Kings 11, 3 and 4 tells us, as we well know, the story of him telling Elijah to go into the wilderness. He said to Elijah, get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. God guided the animals to the ark. God gave speech to Balaam's donkey. He closed the mouths of the lions so Daniel would be saved. And all of his creation is in his control. And God is also sovereign over history, for he has decreed the events of history. Turning again to Hezekiah, as we had committed, as we had said earlier, the king of Syria, Sennacherib, was invading the land. And 1 Chronicles 32:1 tells us, after these things and the establishment thereof, Sennacherib, king of Syria, came and entered into Judah and encamped against the fenced cities and thought to win them for himself. In the parallel account of this in 2 Kings, we find that one of the servants of the king of Assyria, Rabshakeh, had been sent to rail against God and to say, hath any of the gods of the nations delivered those nations from Syria? And the king of Assyria's boast was found in 2 Chronicles 32 and verses 13 and 15. where he said, "Know ye not what I and my fathers have done unto all the people of other lands? Were the gods of the nations of these lands any ways able to deliver their lands out of mine hand? Who was there among all the gods of the nations that my fathers utterly destroyed that could deliver his people out of my hand, that your God should be able to deliver you out of my hand? Now therefore, let not Hezekiah deceive you, nor persuade you on this matter, neither yet believe him, for no god of any nations or kingdom was able to deliver his people out of mine hand and out of the hand of my father. How much less shall your God deliver you out of my hand?" In verse 17, he goes on to say that he wrote in a letter to rail against the Lord God of Israel and to speak against him, saying, "As the gods of the nations of other lands have not delivered their people out of mine hand, so shall not the God of Hezekiah deliver his people out of my hand." So the king of Assyria boasted because Assyria was great. He had had many military victories. Those who had come before him had built up the kingdom, and all before them had fallen because of their greatness, he thought, because of what they were. But in 2 Kings 19, we have God's answer to the king of Assyria's boast. Hast thou not heard long ago how I have done it, and of ancient times that I have formed it? Now have I brought it to pass that thou shouldest be to lay waste fenced cities into ruinous heaps. Therefore their inhabitants were of small power. They were dismayed and confounded. They were as the grass of the field and as the green herb, as the grass in the housetops, and as corn blasted before it be grown up. But I know thy abode, and thy going out, and thy coming in, and thy rage against me. Because thy rage against me and thy tumult has come up into mine ears, therefore I will put my hook in thy nose and my bridle in thy lips, and I will turn thee back by the way by which thou comest. God was always in control of Israel, not the kings of Israel. Long ago he had decreed their victories, and it was by his will, not by their power, that they had risen to conquer. It was God who had made the nation, other nations and cities, weak before the Assyrians because they trusted in gods which were not gods, which truly could not deliver them from the hands of the Assyrians. But all of what Assyria accomplished had been decreed by God in ancient times. And God defended his city in this situation against Sennacherib. His angel killed 185,000 Assyrians in their camp, and Sennacherib returned to Nineveh to be assassinated by two of his sons. So kings, tyrants, conquerors might think they succeed by their own power, but they, like everyone else, are in the hands of a sovereign God. Compared to other men, Alexander might truly have been great and a man of martial ability, but he never claimed one inch more land than God had decreed. Napoleon might have been a competent strategist and an influential person with great charisma that drew people to him, but he never extended his influence any further than God allowed. For the history of all nations, whether they rise or fall, is in the hands of God. It's been determined by the decree of God in ancient times. And God is sovereign, we see, over nature, animals, men, history, kingdoms. But what is most marvelous of all is that this God who is sovereign and can do whatever he wants, is also sovereign over our salvation. For salvation is of the Lord, as Jonah said. How astounding that a holy God, who hates sin, whose perfect justice demands all sin be punished, has chosen in complete freedom to love and elect people, to save them, and to make them his own. And let us exclaim with John, "Behold, what manner of love the Lord hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." Because God is sovereign, he could exact the plan of salvation and bring it about. In Genesis 3:15, immediately after the fall, God proclaimed, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Jesus went to the cross not because wicked men were powerful and in control, but he went to the cross because that was how God decreed that our sin debt would be paid. Peter declared in Acts 2, verses 22 and 24, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. When God hath raised him up, having loosed, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it." For all that Caiaphas, Herod, Pilate, and the others of the crowd did on that day, it was all done according to the decree of God, as Acts 4:28 says, "For to do what is ever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done." For Jesus was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. For we are redeemed not with corruptible things, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a Lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world. And we can rejoice that our names have been written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, and rejoice that we are of the elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, who hath saved us and called us unto a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Jesus before the world began. And that's Revelation 13:8, 1 Peter 1:18-20, 1 Peter 1:2, and 2 Timothy 1:9. Whatever time brings, and whatever the circumstances, and whatever our fears, no matter what the multitudes that might be arrayed against us might be, the Lord is in control. And that is our comfort. That is what we can rely on. We can rely on that because in trials, he is the one that will see us through. In temptations, he is the one that always makes a way of escape. And we know that he also, because he is sovereign, can keep us and secure us until the end. And we know that because it is his will and according to his counsel, we have a sure inheritance in heaven. Jehoshaphat set himself to seek the Lord in his time of trouble. In 2 Chronicles 20:15 says, "Be not afraid," nor God said to him, "Be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord in you, in the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you." And the Lord caused the Amorites and the Moabites, the Ammonites and the Moabites, to destroy the people of Seir first, and then turn on themselves and destroy each other. And all that Josaphat and Judah had to do then was come in and carry away the spoils. So our future may include victories, it may include defeats, but whatever might come, we know that it is all according to God's plan and His purpose. And thus we can be in agreement with what David said in 1 Chronicles chapter 29. And beginning in verse 10. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, and David said, Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou shalt exalt, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all, and in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name.
Amen.